Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 29th of October, recording at 9:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights here on yet another really interesting day. Asian stock markets were firm pretty well right across the boards. An explosive additional move by the Hang Seng Index following its recent consolidation, up 3.89%. And we had, well, all the markets were in form. India had another surge to a new high. Thailand rallied to a new high as well. European markets were far less spectacular, but steady, with modest gains all around. And Wall Street also had some modest gains in here today, but all on the order of less than 0.5%. In the government bond market, I guess economic slowdown fears were a little bit to the fore in the West, because we have had slightly firmer bond prices in Europe and in the US, but very marginal. This market's still quite quiet in here. The US dollar extended its downward trend, currently 76.83 on the dollar index. And precious metals had a pretty good day. They were up very strongly in Asia, and that followed through into London's trading. And then gains were pegged back quite significantly, with platinum being down around $10 or $11 at one stage, but closing out with just a very small decline. And that was the, we also had just a tiny decline in the palladium as well, but silver was pretty steady overall, as was gold bullion. And gold is currently trading, spot bullion is currently trading at 791.50. So we're right up near that psychological $800 level. And what else to mention here? Industrial metals were mostly a little easier. Tin was a notable exception, quite firm. But we didn't have anything big on the downside in that sector. And soft commodities were mostly up, and wheat had a pretty good day, up 28.5 cents. That's a cent and a half off limit, although it's a small limit with wheat at these prices. And crude oil, that was important. Crude oil continued its recent strength. It was down a little bit at one stage, but earlier in the day. But spot price on the NYMEX, $93.53 here today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, it will not have escaped you nor me, from not least from the emails that I received, that there's still a fair amount of nervousness around, and people are very happy with a very strong gains in some of the Fuller Money themes, but also a little bit bemused by it and wondering if it's all a blow-off and if it can be maintained. Well, what conclusions can we draw from all this? I've dealt with these emails in the best that I could, although I've still got I still need another day at least to catch up on some of these. But overall, I think that markets are probably a little bit healthier following the shakeout that we had, the small additional shakeout following those very good post-August low gains. In here today, what I should have mentioned at the beginning is that bank indices were better on Friday, and not least in the U.S. We had a little bit of follow-through. We had a good day in Japan on the bank indices following a disclosure of some subprime losses. I think markets tend to be happier when we've had the disclosures. And the European banks are steadier here today, although the U.S. banks gave up part of Friday's gains, about 30-40% of Friday's gains, excuse me, and they still remain the weakest overall. Needless to say, banks in the high-performing markets, China, India, and some of the developed resources countries, Australia, doing exceptionally well in here. So we really do have two-tier markets. Unfortunately, the fuller money themes are to the fore. Now, I conclude that yes, sure, we have some bubbling conditions in here, and you might want to have a look at that Citigroup report. It's one worth rereading. I will reread it once again. It's that fine report. I think I put it up on the 15th of October, and it's just talking about the maturing bull market. And their point was that we were in a third stage of the liquidity cycle, and that we would see some powerful bubble development. Now, so many people talk about bubbles that the term's been devalued. The science of bubbleology, if you will, has not improved all that much overall. And for a lot of people, a bubble is just something that they either didn't predict or didn't participate in, to take a cynical look at it. And as far as I'm concerned, the very, very strong gains that we've seen in some of the fuller money themes since the middle of August does now finally suggest that bubble conditions are developing. But I've heard that term used about our resources stocks so many times over the last few years that I tend to regard it as a contrary indicator. And the same can be said for India. China, we do have bubble conditions, but it's also a bit of a special situation in being a closed market, although less closed than it was. And frankly, I worry less about bubbles when GDP is still booming along and monetary officials aren't cracking down on it with a heavy hammer. So we're not getting the removal of the proverbial punch bowl, as I believe Arthur Burns had once famously said. Instead, we're getting some very incremental measures just to rein it in a little bit, not kill it off. And overall, it's a good environment. We know that central banks pumped in a staggering amount of liquidity during the subprime-related credit crisis. And while we have seen some very, very big losses, and you might say, well, that was just paper profits, but those paper profits have gone to heaven, to money heaven, but they have been more than offset, I feel, judging from what stock markets and these precious metal markets are doing. They have been more than offset by the infusion of bank liquidity. And I think the banks are not going to be hauling all of that back this week. They'll haul some of it back at some stage, no doubt, but perhaps not while the banking sectors are still so weak in the West and in Japan, and not while there are some legitimate questions over GDP growth in those same regions. So I reckon we have more liquidity sloshing around. And I also think there's been a bit of a ideological conversion on the metaphorical road to Damascus by a lot of investors who have been bearish of the performing sectors for such a long time and calling them all risky. And they have seen that the real risks have tended to be in their backyards. And where they have been concerned about massive contagions, we have seen really somewhat of an uncoupling. The classic example where we clearly have had an uncoupling is in the relative performance of bank indices. If we take the weak side, the U.S., the European banks, Japanese banks, compared to banks in the resources-producing countries and banks in the leading Asian emerging markets. So we have certainly seen some important uncoupling there. Okay, now so not to make this audio too long, what could go wrong in here? Well, when situations are unfolding so very, very rapidly, it's probably not a great idea to try to pontificate too extensively, but I've singled out the dollar as something that could begin to worry people, also the price of crude oil, and that remains possible in fast moving markets. But overall, I've just mentioned liquidity, and it's also a favorable period seasonally. And I think there is a general consensus that the worst of the credit crisis is behind us, although it's not over by any means, because we know there's still a lot of toxic waste to surface. But if anything, that's playing into our hands. They say that conversion on the road to Damascus is that, well, I'm going to put more money. People are saying I'm going to put more money in the areas that are performing that don't have anything to do with all those dodgy loans. And that is a sensible choice, I would argue, somewhat subjectively. So I'm still, again, I want to watch things very, very closely in here, as always, and no doubt you do as well. But I like the trend action that I see in my favorite areas. And no, I don't expect the Fuller Money portfolio to go on appreciating at the rate that it is. My Fuller Money portfolio, I beg your pardon, I do not expect my personal portfolio to go on appreciating. What I should have said and meant to say is I do not expect the Fuller Money themes to go on appreciating at the same rate as they have recently, but I do expect them to outperform. And that's a view I've held for a number of years now, as you know. The bond indicators are not worrying at this stage because there's too much concern over the scope for economic slowdown. And what else? Gold. Let's talk about that a little bit. Lots of backing and filling. We have the U.S. interest rate decision coming on Wednesday. Now, the chat on the street is that the Fed doesn't want a cut, but because the market's expecting a cut, that it will cut probably by 25 basis points. Well, I'm not a fly on the wall in the Federal Reserve meeting rooms, but I would, in their shoes, I would certainly be cutting. And the choice would be between 25 to 50 basis points. If the chat on this, that the Fed is reluctant to cut, well, why would the Fed be reluctant to cut? Well, because they can see the potential for inflationary pressures building back upwards once again, and that might conceivably give the dollar another little nudge on the downside. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some volatility in here, and if everybody's discounting a rate cut, then it's one of these occasions or instances of buy the rumor, sell the story from a short-term, very short-term trading perspective. Now, I'm not going to sell anything in my short-term, I beg your pardon, I'm not going to sell anything in my investment portfolio, but I am unlikely to be. Well, I'll try to stay my hand here in terms of buying too much in the way of leveraging up on my precious metals again until I see what actually happens. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get some choppy action, I'm saying, in the middle of this and latter part of this week. But that has been where we've seen some of that earlier on, of course, in these runs. But when you look at the weekly charts on gold and platinum and silver, well, I think they're absolutely outstanding. And I don't think that we're anywhere near the end of this particular run. I've said before that I felt that it would carry on throughout the end of the year in this very favorable period seasonally and well on into the first quarter of the year. And then I probably would want to walk away from some of these high-flying performers in the precious metals sector, but not yet. I like the action. And that's pretty much it. So all the best until tomorrow.